So, does anybody here believe that the Republicans are any different from the Democrats?
Not
Not while
really.
I'm conscious, no.
I can't hear a damn thing,
Oh,
G
really?
man.
Okay.
They can watch and listen to us.
Yeah. Well, oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong browser here. Okay. There we go.
Oops, I messed up. I gotta restart that.
Yeah, we don't hear any music.
Yep, I gotta fix that.
Okay. I could sing a few songs.
It, man. Come on.
The ADL, it ain't what it used to be. Ain't what it
Ha
used to be. Ain't what it used to be. Neither is the SPLC. It's so wonderful to see all these Jewish power brokers collapsing right before our eyes. I'm digging it. Yeah, okay, I can't hear less, but that might be his fault.
It is my fault,
Yeah.
exactly. And we are live.
Okay. I'm hearing you. What's the matter, Don Giuseppe? The buttons aren't cooperating on your computer. Oh, there we go.
Well, I forgot to put the sound on. Now I'm rectifying that mistake, and we're going to have the intro the way it was meant to be heard by the 6 million white viewers that we have. Here we go.
No chance of 6 million Jews.
We must secure the existence of our people in a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
Silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload.
Rubs their hands and resembles rats.
No
reason to the banks.
No
and wears
reason,
little hats.
What reason do you need to be sure? Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays, I wanna shoot.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideas?
You got any better ones?
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
Six million Jews. Wickedly killed in gas chambers.
I see a clinic full of cynics who want to twist the people's wrists. They're watching every move we make. We're all included on the list.
I love you forever.
I
Thank you. Germany's act this year is proving to be a bit of a controversial one. Definitely the bad boys of the competition this year, but it has to be said that they are taking Germany by storm. They burst onto the scene with their hit single, Hate to Say I Told You So, before adopting a heavier sound in the Bunker Session Tapes release that followed. Their Austrian-born lead singer has said that they've finally settled on a new sound that we'll be hearing tonight, which he called their final sound. Should be interesting, let's hear it. It's the Heils for Germany with Stalingrad.
Mein Gott, just like Napoleon, I met the Russian winter, oh yeah. And now my empire is starting to splinter like his once did. Does history have amnesia? 'Cause it's repeating itself again, yeah. Stalingrad, the battle is over, you turned the war. Stalingrad. I thought we just have to kick in the door. Stalingrad, can we bring back the Molotov Ribbentrop Pact? Stalingrad, maybe half of Poland wasn't that bad. 99999 Stalingrad, finally finishing my Stalingrad. Hey! I thought them weak, but I can see the Russians are strong now. Oh yeah, the Untermensch have got the upper hand now. I ordered no troops to retreat, but now I face this defeat. Stalingrad, the battle is over, you've turned the war. Stalingrad, I thought I just have to kick in the door. Stalingrad, can we bring back the Molotov Ribbentrop Pact? Stalingrad, maybe half of Poland doesn't get bad. 99999 Stalingrad, finally facing my Stalingrad. I told General but we lost the city anyway. Stalingrad, the bloodiest battle the war has had. Stalingrad, feels like things are starting to go bad. 99999 Stalingrad, finally facing my Stalingrad. 99999 Stalingrad, finally facing my Stalingrad. 99999 Stalingrad, finally facing my Stalingrad.
Well, whatever you think about the lads, you have to admit that they absolutely blitzed that. I'm even being told that after seeing that performance from Germany just now, France immediately withdrew from the competition. It's not over yet, though, because I don't really see Poland and Israel giving that performance any points in the voting, I have to say. Oh, speaking of Israel, they're up next.
It is the Jew who has done this to America. It is the race traitor who has been bought off for a few morsels of social status and filthy money that has brought us to the level of where we are. With power. But America was white, and America is white. And when it's over, it's going to be all white because every goddamn Jew is going to die in this nation.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white England, white Italy, white Germany, white France, white Ireland, white Scotland, white New Zealand, white Australia especially, and every other white first world European legacy nation. Wake the fuck up. All right, hello everybody. This is your host, Don Giuseppe Vaffangulo. It is Monday, May 11th. This is the Sane Asylum number 429. All right, been doing this a long time, 6 years. All right, we got a great collection of legends. Let's start out with the legendiest of legend, the one and only James Mason. James, how are you? How was your weekend and what's on your radar?
Wonderful weekend. I hope all you guys had the same. Mother's Day and all that. I see you're really waxing sentimental there, G-man.
My mother's been gone 9 years, and I'll tell you, it's never the same once they pass. So, yeah.
That's right. Both my parents went in the last century. I'm still in my 30s. But, wow. We were together right up to the end. So, you know, I can't complain.
How old were you? You've lost them both. You were a teenager.
I was still in my 30s. I was in my 30s.
Oh. Okay.
When they went, yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And that's the story of that, but I got a hell of a lot of good memories.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, I don't know. Fox again this morning. Let's see. Trump is turning down Iran's counteroffer to end
which,
the war.
Which was they offered to surrender unconditionally, Trump, and then we can, you know, go to bed. I mean, nobody's going to take that serious, James. So what do you think their ploy is?
You mean Iran?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let this economy break over here. Let Trump go completely into the dumper, which he's doing. And, of course, another part
Trump's
of that banner.
Trumpster to dumpster.
Yeah, Trumpster to dumpster. You said it. Another part of the banner was Netanyahu said the war will never be over until they have no uranium in Richmond. So who's calling the shots, right? Who's calling the shots?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Let's go next to Pastor Eli James. Eli, what's on your mind? How are you?
Well, I remember JFK had a situation with David Ben-Gurion where David Ben-Gurion was demanding that America give the Jews all of our nuclear secrets.
That's right, yeah.
JFK refused, okay? And he got assassinated. So Donald Trump, now he's saying, well, the Iranians shouldn't have a bomb, but he hasn't been assassinated. Why not? What's the difference?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, no, there's no difference. The Jews need to have, well, okay, so the Jews have what, 90 nuclear warheads already, something like that. Everybody knows it, right? And then Netanyahu has been preaching for 20 years, you can't let the Iranians have the bomb. We got 90 bombs, but they can't have one. Wait a minute. That's not fair. We should all have the same amount of nuclear bombs. Right? But the Jews don't play fair, okay?
Well, and of course, that's for sure.
And, of course, Iran never threatened America, so therefore Donald Trump must bomb Iran.
There you go.
Okay. All right. It makes absolutely no sense except to, I don't know, are there still any MAGA people left backing Trump?
Yeah, and the question is, where are all the mass protests?
Yeah, right.
There are none.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't have the money to stage the protests. That's
about right.
Right.
Yeah.
George Soros stages all those left-wing protests, but we don't have that kind of money. But fortunately, the good thing is that people are waking up. The Epstein files are maybe waking half the people up. Even some MAGA people are waking up. By the way, Donald Trump is trying to release the UFO files?
Well, he did last week, some of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which means they admit that the Nephilim are right here with us.
Right.
Always have been.
Always
have been.
Yeah. And the SPLC's dirty tricks have been exposed by the DOJ, right?
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, isn't it? There's something. Oh, yeah, well, I think they're going to get ready to expose the ADL as well, because the SPLC has been funded by the ADL. Whoa, somebody making coffee?
Hello? Yes.
Wait a minute.
There we go. Oh. It's Paul.
That was an excellent poem. All right. Okay. And then Erica Kirk has to be the number one Jewish spy of the century. Okay. No doubt about it. Okay. Donald Trump, she was one of Donald Trump's party girl. I mean, beauty queens.
Right.
And then
it
turns out so was his wife. Okay. Amalia. What's her name? Melania. Okay.
Melania, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was one of his beauty, and it turns out she was an escort. Okay? Man, if the news isn't exciting, I don't know what it is. Okay? But it's certainly not truthful.
Hey, let's next go to Paul Fromm, the legendiest of legends in Canada. Paul, do you remember back in the up until the 70s, the politicians had to put on the facade of having a moral compass, so you'd never have a president or a prime minister who was divorced, right? And then Reagan comes in, and he's been divorced, and that opened the floodgates. So now we have a scummy reprobate like Trump with, 5, 6 wives and how many right. pedophilic episodes and how many women.
Call girls.
Unbelievable. Your thoughts. Oh, I muted you, Paul. You got to unmute yourself.
Yeah. You got to press the button. Unmute yourself. Okay. Where would you...
While Paul does that, don't forget
put your cursor down towards the lower middle of the screen, and that should cause a black rectangle to pop up, and the microphone on the far left, it would be unmute there.
Okay, it may be different on his screen. He's in Canada.
Yeah, kind of like in Australia, the toilets go counterclockwise.
If at all.
You're still muted, Paul.
You pass your cursor over the bottom of your screen, Paul.
Is it okay now?
Yes, good.
There
he is.
Good.
There he is.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, something popped up and I smacked on mute and...
I sent that. I didn't realize I could do that. That's pretty cool.
So. Yeah, that's right next to that is a self-destruct button.
Yep. Yeah.
Push the right one.
Yeah, the red one. Yeah. Like Bugs Bunny, don't push the red one.
Okay. All right, Paul, how are things in Canada?
Oh, seriously messed up. There are now reports that unable to recruit Canadians. Actually, it's not funny. They're now recruiting foreigners, mostly from the third world, and they'll give them quick entry to Canada if they'll join the armed forces. Oh. So they've got some Africans in there. Now, old African hands, and I'm not really an old African hand, but I've been there a few times. And I know how many beans add up to four. The thing about the Negroes in Africa, they hate each other. And they're not hating the white man. So apparently there's just mayhem. They've got these people who are not qualified, to some extent abusing women, because that's right. They don't get along with each other. There's tribal conflicts. And now, of course, they have, the Negro is not completely stupid. He quickly finds out or gets told that he can make big gains, big money, and complain about racism. So these characters are being allowed into the country, allowed to join the armed forces, so they get entry into Canada, and they're immediately complaining about racism. I would say the first time race comes out of their mouth, they're on a slow boat, hopefully with a lot of holes, on the way back to Africa. We shouldn't put up with this crap, but it is very dangerous, because when you hire foreigners to do your fighting for you, the Roman Empire went that way. The initial Roman armies that were unbeatable were made up mostly of Roman or farmers, landowners that had a stake in the country, and they were going to fight. They didn't want to go to needless wars, but if they had to fight, they would, and they were efficient at it, and they were dedicated to it because it's their country, their land. Well, over the years, Rome became very degenerate, and they began to hire what they called barbarians. These were mostly Germanic tribes that were up to the north. After a while, as it became more and more degenerate, these tribes said, let's see, we're fighting for these guys for a pittance. Hey, why don't we unite and just overthrow these corrupt corrupt flesh pots. And by 476 AD, that's what happened. That was the fall of Rome. Well, we have no reason to hire foreigners to fight our wars. This is not so much about trying to get soldiers. It's about to try to dilute the population and to get even more third worlders into the country. That's the game.
That's exactly right, Paul. And what's it going to take? We'll get everybody's thoughts on this one as we go around. What's it going to take for the average white Canadian or white American to wake up and really not just, oh, this is bad, but we got to fucking do something about this, you know, take that step to action.
Well,
Paul, did you? That was a follow-up.
Yeah, that is the big question. What will it enact? How? There is a movement toward new political parties, and of course, Les is in the midst of it, or act in some other ways. This weekend, there's going to be a revival revival of the Truckers' Freedom Convoy, and there's going to be
a
number of convoys, and there's a lot of stuff that's up in the air. Are they going to block traffic or simply attract a lot of attention as a convoy? I don't know, but there is a lot of unhappiness.
Sure. All right, let's go next to the future Prime Minister of Canada, certainly the future mayor, Les Borey. Les, how are you? What's on your radar?
Good, Giuseppe. I'm doing all right. And good day, gentlemen, everybody watching, everybody in the chat. Yeah, not a whole lot going on here. I've been staying away from the news. It's so stupid. I'm just getting sick of watching it. It's off the charts dumb. And I guess from Paul's report, it looks like we're not retiring yet. We still have work to do, unfortunately. We keep moving forward on that. Yeah, so there's not a whole lot that I've got to say that everybody doesn't already know about. Basically, they're lying to us every single day about this thing in Iran. I'm just sick of listening to this bullshit. I'm just waiting for the day when the United States military just mutinies and takes back their country. And it is dangerous to bring in mercenaries to your country to fight for you because they're not motivated by the same things that, say, patriots are.
Right.
And again, I read Machiavelli a few times, and let's see if I can recollect a few things here. But in the book, it says that using mercenaries isn't good because, number one, like Paul says, when they win, basically they're the power, and then you just take over, call it a day, and then just subjugate the whole place. Right. Including their former bosses. It wouldn't be hard to do that. Plus, mercenaries aren't the most steadfast fighters either. If things get tough, they're not bound to the land like a naturalized person would be, right? Like a native of a land. And they'll run more often than not. So it's not a good thing. And it's always better to fight with your own guys on your side. People that are loyal to you, obviously, right? That's the best way to go. So it's kind of a no-brainer, but it needs to be pointed out. And all this stuff that they're doing federally and at every level of government actually is meant for our own demise. It's meant to kill us all. And when they start handing weapons to the people that are new to Canada and not really loyal to us, but they're loyal to their own things, that's a big deal. And the law of nature dictates whoever's the most violent will win. Right. So you don't want to hand over your violence to other people. You want to keep that in house. And you want to maintain that and keep a lid on it until you need it. That's the thing, though. These guys are bringing these people in, and they're flooding us with all these foreigners, and now they're going to arm them overtly if they haven't been doing it overtly, right? Like, who would have thought that they would have tried to poison us with vaccines? Who would have thought? You know that is arming foreigners for our demise off the table at that point. I don't think so at all. I think it's probably almost more honest to do than to fool people into taking poison vaccines to, arm the enemy to do us harm. It's a measure more honest than it is to lie to women and children about taking poison, right? So it's still bad. It still ends in our deaths, right? This is the life and death matter. And people should start looking at it like that because that's what it is. They're not putting guns into the hands of these people for our own good. There's no doubt about it. Some people will find allies among some people, but I think en masse, a lot of these people that have been brought here are part of the clergy plan, and they've been handpicked to do us harm. They haven't exactly been bringing over the Swiss Family Robinson en masse. It's not as bad as Europe here yet, but basically we've got our element here that are basically a criminal element that's been brought here. And being a nationalist, I want to put Canadian criminals first. We don't need the competition, right? We don't need this dumping here, okay? We got enough crime, okay? There's only so much, so many resources to go around for our criminals to steal, right? Now, I'm just kidding about that, but basically it is a truth, though. And that's the thing. Even in jail, there's a conflict now between whites and others. It's not a good thing to see, but that's what it is, right? White guys can't even stay on the ranges at Maplehurst. The regular general population ranges, they used to call them because all the gangs there, right? And they're not usually not white. So basically, we're losing the war in jail. And in jail basically is almost like the canary in the coal mine. That society in jail kind of reflects what it is outside. Basically, we're losing the fight in jail right now, right? And it's just going to be the future of Canada, right? Our open-air prison is going to resemble our kind of bars prison very shortly in more than one way.
Wow, well stated, really well stated. So, all right, UK prison. Steve has joined us. Yeah. Steve, welcome.
Yeah.
Steve, it was interesting over the weekend. I'm looking for where I saw it, but I saw that in the United States and Canada, there were like 500,000 or 1.5 million H-1B foreign workers since COVID, and they've all the jobs have gone not to the, back to the whites, but to these street-shitting Pajits. It's unbelievable. Let me look and see if I have that on Telegram to put up, but that's just disgusting to me, Steve. So that your thoughts on that and whatever else is on your radar. All right, Steve, we don't hear you. Hi.
Yeah.
Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve. Hello.
I'll speak for him. Facts don't matter.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I want to send you a meme. Somebody put a meme together about Erica Kirk and Tammy Faye.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to see it.
I'm trying to copy it.
It's like, can you tell the difference?
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. which one has the bigger fake eyelashes? All right. Okay, it's telling me to save as. I can't just copy it, so I'll try it that way. Oh, you know what's wrong with me? I'll just send you the URL. Brain fart. Right. Let's see if I copy the URL.
Did you put it in the chat? Here or
somewhere? No, I'm gonna try to do that now. It's an Instagram.
Oh,
it's a still. Okay, hang back. So UK Steve.
Steve, are you there?
All right, he may have to restart his computer. Okay, how do I get the chat room open again? Now I forget.
There's that little black bar in the lower middle. The fourth icon from the left is the chat.
Oh, okay, right. It's got the little balloon. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, to the left of the hand.
Yeah, right. By the way, to quote UK Steve, I guess he did a facts don't matter. So whatever you say, you have to do the Jewish trick is to lie by telling the truth. And the way they do that is by giving you half truth.
Which is a half a lie.
That's right. But the public doesn't know that, right?
There's a great word for all that. It's called specious, telling half truth.
Yeah, right.
All right. So here, you know, we're seeing all these golden statues being erected by Trump. This is an amazing one right here. So let's see what you guys think of that one. There you go.
Oh, wow.
Trump giving, Trump giving BB Netanyahu a handy.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's about it. That's how in the world did we ever get to this?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, the Bible says that we will have the worst possible people become our leaders.
The Bible was right.
The lowest, the basest of men is the exact expression. That's what we get.
So, James, did you happen to catch, and we'll get everybody's thoughts on this, that there's a little clip, maybe I can find it, but I'll just describe it, of here's Steve trying to get in again. Cool. Here we go. Of Tucker Carlson asking Donald Trump in an interview recently, you know, Bibi Netanyahu hates you. You know, I list this laundry list of Jews and dual citizens, and they all hate you. And Trump just looked at him and said, I know. It's like, what the fuck?
I saw that. You wonder what to make of it. And he ticked off that Mark Levin, among others, who is just a brain jackass for
yes.
And loves Trump.
That's a Democrat. jackass.
Or so he says. And, you know, if Trump is being sincere, what do we make of that? I mean, these guys will use him and toss him out like a broken down syphilitic whore. Well, I mean, what's going through his head?
Can anyone hear me? So,
yes, Steve, you're here. There you go. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think my browser's blocking FTJ. It's really weird.
Okay. That is weird. That is weird.
I've had to change to a different browser. Yeah, go on. I'm listening now if you can.
Yeah, well, Keir Starmer hates you.
They all hate me.
I hear he's about to be replaced.
Well, Keir Starmer hates him, of course, but Netanyahu pretends he likes him. Mark Levin is in love with him. Tucker Carlson said, don't you know all these guys hate you? And apparently Trump said, I know.
Trump says, I know. Yeah, but what can I do about it?
Right. Yeah. Well, a lot of things you can do about it. Like, not never get into that war with Iran. Now, why don't I just say, give it a week. Yeah. And then say, we won.
Yeah, right.
Go home. Iran's, according to them, Iran's Navy and Army are totally decimated. Their Air Force is blown all to rat shit. A lot of damage done to the country. We won.
Yeah.
It's not realistic to go in and occupy a country with a third of America's population. That's not going to work. Not being able to install a puppet government. So you've done some damage. Go home and say we won. It doesn't, or else you will be sucked into a forever war.
Yep.
And Paul, is he did that a couple weeks ago. He tried that. It just didn't work.
The thing is, I'm sure Netanyahu will not let him.
No.
Whatever just from the point of view of the rest of his presidency, if he loses the House, there will be nonstop aggravation. That there will be, they'll try to impeach him. That'll go to the Senate. It'll be defeated, but it'll be a huge time waster, and he will not get much of his agenda through. So he's got to. The midterms are absolutely vital, and historically the party in power loses some seats. So right. And they've got only two seats they can lose. So this has got to be one of those few cases where the history does not repeat itself.
Paul. One thing that's going on is all the southern states right now, based on the Supreme Court reversing the corrupt communist Voters' Rights Act, all these southern states are basically redoing their voting districts, so they're eliminating a lot of chimpanzee and sheboon fake voting districts. This is a boon for Republicans right now.
There are good things happening, and the Democrats, it's hard to know what they stand for except they hate Trump, and they're filled with their ranks are filled with these wackadoodle jobs, the want to put tampons in the men's bathroom and dudes playing in girls' sports and so on and so on. They've got serious problems. Sometimes voters take the attitude, the author of our high gas prices and inflation, the people in power will vote for the other guy, even if the other guy is pretty obnoxious. And I think that's the big risk for Trump. Stop that war. Declare you won. Focus on the 250th anniversary of of 1776, have a party, good times. And right. By the fall, gas prices hopefully will come way down, and people have all the memory of an Alzheimer's.
Okay. All right. Good point.
So speaking of which, what program am I on?
but Paul, half the country will believe him when he says we won.
Yeah, because who wants to say we lost? I mean, right. we got our asses whooped.
Yeah. I did my best.
Sure. Taking on a country like Iran. With having taken out their air defenses and their air force, I mean, there's not much the Iranians can do. I mean, it's like shooting chickens in a pen and they're all tied up and you just point the gun and you blast. I mean, this is not a glorious victory over impossible odds. But you know, having wrecked their armed forces, then what? That's the issue. I suppose out of diabolical vengeance, and I suspect the Netanyahus of this world are whispering that into Trump's ear, destroy their oils, destroy Karg Island. Okay, so you reduce their poverty to sheep herding and primitive agriculture. The result? Well, about 89 million Iranians flooding into the rest of the world. But from a nationalist point of view, dumb, dumb, dumb. Don't do it. Leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Wow, great insights.
Yeah, don't anger Steve. That pussycat.
Yeah. What's going on with the election in the UK the past couple of days? I mean, Labour's really getting hammered, right?
I don't believe any of it. I mean, if I can just comment on a couple of things.
Please, go ahead.
First of all, the redistricting. We have to ask the question about redistricting. Why are they doing that? There is no... what's the word I'm looking for? There's no goodwill towards the political system of doing the honest and right thing. It all serves a Jewish agenda, right, which is anti-white and pro-Israel. Now, the reason I reckon they're doing the redistricting is because the client demographics have broken down since the Gaza war. So they're all voting anti-Netanyahu. Right. Uh-huh. And I guess the more they get exposed to that area, they get more into anti-Zionism, the more they support the Palestinian cause. All those demographics, especially blacks, Hispanics, etc. And to be honest, the awful women, affluent, white, feminist, urban liberals, they are all anti-Israel. So by redistricting and pushing it towards a Republican MAGA-tard crowd, they get their pro-Israel viewpoint, and it doesn't matter how the broken demographics vote at that point. And they'll do that on an ad hoc expedient basis. So that's why I reckon they're doing that. The second point I want to address before I move on to Starmer is political rationality. So... when we say someone's a rational actor, we are saying essentially that you're assuming you are a good person who's been brought up in a good family, good parents, good education, and you know the difference between right and wrong. Okay. Yeah. And then what happens is when someone deviates from that, because you can't comprehend evil, you assume it's because they're irrational, because they're mad, they've got dementia. So think Joe Biden.
Right.
He's a narcissist, think Trump, and therefore that must be the explanation to their behavior. But it's not. They're entirely rational. It's just they've given their will to evil and they're willingly serving evil. That's the key thing to understand, the willing slave. So Trump is a slave as much as an ignorant at the bottom. All these Pagets, for example, why are they bringing Pagets into every single country? Because they vote Israel. They're pro-Jew because they've been told to do that. And then they get
paid. Then they get the reward, which is a free house, free hair care, blah, blah, blah. So they're importing a new client demographic to replace the other client demographics that have gone off piste, and that people have to understand that they're not irrational, and that you have to not just hate the slave master, everybody hates the Jew, but you have to start going after the people who are the willing slaves, the people who are actually willingly anti-white. That's the key. So
liberals.
Starmer is not irrational. Starmer knows exactly what he's doing, and he's a front man serving the crown. And obviously, the crown is now owned since the Suez Canal officially by Rothschild. And he sees it as a religion. I've noticed all these Labour cabinet ministers. It's packed full of these millionaires. And they've all got between £4 and £12 million each. So for them, being anti-white not only is a moral cause which they can afford, but it's profitable. They're paid to believe what they believe. They're paid to virtue signal a moral point. They're actually paid to do it. That's why they believe in it. As soon as it wasn't profitable, as soon as there's the threat of the gallows or being the head chopped off, as soon as they've got millions of people outside who want their blood like Ceausescu, all of a sudden they stop believing in evil because there's a consequence. And the reason they're pushing this agenda is because they have been shown so far to be no consequences whatsoever. So as long as you control the roulette table and you can rig that roulette table, and people don't know that that roulette table in the casino is rigged, they'll keep buying that money in as much as possible. But what I despise is people who know that and still go in and gamble anyway. Because it's the fix, it's the high, it's the meeting people there, it's drinking in the casino. All these explanations of the willing slave, which supports evil. Now, regarding the voting, no voting matters in this country. The first-past-the-post system is a totally inappropriate system anyway. If you wanted something that's reflective of the population, you would go to, like, say, proportional representation. But for me, what people don't understand is that, as I was trying to explain to you, democracy has been virtue signaled as something positive and moral. It's not. Not when you have a whole population of willing slaves who want to be a slave. I mean, the Germans in the Second World War and before, everybody saw the British as the willing slaves of the Jew. And that's been the case since Culloden, when the British were conquered. Now, what's gone on in these countries, they've had a lot of money ploughed into the country, and then they've taken all the conquered people, put them in the British Army and formed an empire, and been told to be proud of that. And you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be, for many reasons. None of us benefited from it here. We lived in slums. We had bubonic plague. It was absolutely awful time in Victorian times for the common man in this country. They used to have penny hangers, coffin beds, absolute slavery and disease everywhere. It was awful.
Right.
But now, when we roll forward to today's age, we're being told, two world wars, one world cup. To be proud of that. You shouldn't be proud of that because it was a Jewish operation.
Right.
It wasn't a British operation. It wasn't a Celtic operation. It wasn't a Northern operation. It wasn't an indigenous operation here. This was a banker's operation run by Rothschild since the very early 1800s. And it's been built, and that platform was put there since the Civil War. So until people in this country and elsewhere with whites, but I'll just talk about the UK, until they understand that they're conquered, they won't be able to escape their slavery. At least the blacks know they're slaves. They're willing to go around and kill whitey, kill other blacks, or take their shit, because they're able to put their own self-interest first, because they understand that they're at the bottom. Until whites actually en masse, and I'm not speaking obviously about me or you or the audience, I'm talking about the people we're trying to appeal to. Until they understand that they're conquered, then it's not going to change. Democracy is not a virtue. When I look at people who are absolutely corrupt, I don't want them having a vote. When I'm looking at people who are absolutely stupid and are willing to believe in illusion because it's easier, I don't want them having the vote. When I'm looking for people who are actually treasonous, who are traitors, especially women, Oh, that's okay. I'll vote for what I want. I'll take the kids off the man. I'll take the property off the man. I'll take half of his future pension earnings as well off the man. I'll vote for that. It just reduces voting to sectarianism. There's no homogeneity in that society. There isn't. And my final point is, having a substitute religion and a substitute monarch be put at the very, very top over an indigenous leader, which is Arthur in this island, and a religion in this country, which is paganism / Orthodox Christianity on this island. That's the actual original religion of this island. It was a kind of a detente between the old ways of the natives, some of which were monobound under Arthur, and the new ways of Orthodox Christianity and singular God. Now, not everybody believed in Jesus, but they did bring the concept of God to this island, the singular monotheism. They did bring in universality of morality, what we know as Catholicism. I'm not talking about Roman Catholicism either. We have been co-opted in terms of our leader and our gods. And that's the transformation this country that needs. Otherwise, it's easier to believe you're a willing slave. It's easier to get on your knees, to tip the cap and go, "All right, me lord! Yes, me lord!" That's what it is. That's why I hate them. And furthermore, it's about half to 60% of the population as well. Who are the voting majority? So one of the key things we need to understand, especially if you have a political platform, is the transmutation of one people's spiritual beliefs, because that will change the virtue of the moral text. Oops.
It's noon somewhere.
That's James's cuckoo clock.
Yeah, we're on the hour. We're on the hour.
On the hour.
Let me just finish. So when we have to have a spiritual transformation in this country, away from consumerism and scientific materialism, it's not the explanation of everything. It certainly won't do you any good after you're dead. And if your kids are going to lose absolutely everything, got no future, you're going to get butchered by niggers and Muslims and Jews, what's the point? Number two, the psychic world. We do, and this is, I kind of want to say, when we're going to change the language, absolutely back to P&Q Celtic and the language of our neighbours, which would be Norwegian and French. But if I can just quote you Netanyahu, he made a claim, I think it was yesterday, he claimed social media is fueling declining support for Israel and says there is too much freedom for people to say whatever they want.
Yeah, that's a true statement.
So, on point number two, that's the key thing. We need, it doesn't really matter what language you're in. You need to be able to say what you want. We have to be clear to people when you have a political platform that one of the things you're going to give them is, one, the ability to say whatever you want with no penal tariff. Number one, the First Amendment, the Golden Amendment. Number two, you then have to trust the people, not the 60% who are willing slave cunts, but people who are willing to put in 5 years in the forest militia, get their skills set up, get a trade skills, work with other people, improve your local area. That whole mindset of building trust between you and the people running the show. And then you can give them guns. Then you can give them drones. Then those people can assist in a national militia, a male, patriarchal national militia, where they can defend their own interests, and most importantly, defend the right to think. And the third and final point, changing the money. There is so much economic illiteracy in this country. These willing slaves don't care. They're happy in their slavery. They really, really are. They're happy to be on minimal wage. They're happy to be, especially if you've got no concept of history. Can't even read or write like the blacks, especially the illiteracy rate in America, for example. But over here, it's easier just to be on TikTok listening to bodybuilders or models or listening to Taylor Swift. They don't actually care about information that would empower them. They don't actually care. Furthermore, they would support the people who are pushing out that lies and propaganda which is enslaving us. So they say to us, "Oh, yeah, well, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't care. And I'm going to vote for Starmer anyway." That's what you're up against. So in this particular context, democracy is the enemy. It is the enemy.
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing at this situation is revolution. Now, whether you can go and build a political base under the guise of democracy and voting in order to put yourself in a situation where you can give the government a fait accompli. That's what you need to be doing. That's what Hitler did. He built the Sturm Abteilung. He went around. He denied law and order on the streets. He fought all the trannies, pedos, all the book burning, sexual pornography. He fought on the media as well. He invaded the SA. He did all that. And then when they couldn't actually take any more, they then offered him the chancellorship. And he had a political party, a party that could be voted in, but it wasn't necessary because he'd based his power on political violence. That's what he'd actually done. A soft form of that, I might add. And he'd done a deal with the army. He neutralized the police, put them to the wayside, minimized them, and he put it straight away into the army and making sure every single man was able to fire a rifle and serve in the army, a form of national militia in a way. So those are my three points that I would say are criticism of society and in particular of voting. And what we need is a leader in terms of policies and transmuting the goyim in this country.
Yeah, Steve, if I may comment, because what Hitler did was he got rid of the liberals. And the liberals are the soft target because they're cowards. You know, they're being paid by George Soros to demonstrate, and then when he doesn't pay them, they whine and moan and complain. Right. And so what the liberals do is, as you were just saying, they're bought off.
They thought Hitler could. So that's the point. They thought they could pay Hitler because they control the money. They thought they could create the pits.
Oh, yeah.
Quote unquote. But what they came across and became a bit of a cropper here is that Hitler couldn't be bought.
That's right.
Hitler's speech was a paid speech. Yeah. He was an ideologue. He actually believed in his 25 principles.
Yeah.
And the liberals didn't know what was coming. And
that's right.
Rothschild got arrested and unfortunately ransomed. So yeah. That's my opinion with Hitler. And perhaps we can take a lesson from there that we need people who can't be bought.
Right. Okay. I've got a quote prepared for when it's my turn because Malcolm X agrees with you.
Okay. Well, let's go. First, let's look at the meme you wanted to show with Tammy Faye and Erica. There you go. Same decade, different decade, same grift. I completely agree with that. And let's see if you stay.
Hey, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it?
Very good. Very good.
Hey, Giuseppe's throwing strikes today.
Hey, man. Nobody would touch her with Steve's penis, but the Erica, she's not a bad looking woman, but this thing, holy cow, that was brutal back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that brings up another subject that I meant to bring up because the Democrats have announced, or at least AOC has announced her intention to run for president. Okay. So who do you? Right. What do you mean laughing like that?
Where? Puerto Rico?
Yeah, right. So I can imagine, obviously the Democrats can run two women, AOC and Kamala. Who do you think is going to be president?
Neither.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, but the Republicans, if they run Caroline Leavitt and Erica Kirk, who do you think is going to win the election, Republicans or Democrats?
Oh, boy.
That's a tough choice, huh?
Yeah.
But are we going to get anything better come November?
Well, I don't know, man. They always have somebody that is perceived as the outsider that suddenly pops up and gets the normies all excited. We haven't seen that person yet, I don't think.
Do you think the American people will fall for that again?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
Did you see Dave came on The Perfect Triangle, Dave Gahari, on Friday, and he was totally black-pilled and disgusted with everything, and he just was ripping normies apart, and he's got a good point. I mean, they fall for it again and again and again. That was his point.
Well, but
if I can just comment there.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, Steve.
We place too much emphasis on leaders, right? You do need a good leader. But what we need to do is understand, this is not glorious to say this, we need to understand that we need hard-working, low-level people
from the very, very bottom. They need to be appreciated, understood, encouraged, empowered, and their potential fulfilled. One of the geniuses of the Führer was that he was able to find the party, the German Workers' Party. He was able to find a bunch of hard workers. That's the key thing. They get down, they knew their leader, they knew the policies, and they got down to work and they worked hard and quietly. That's the thing. And what we have is perhaps people who are willing to work hard, and we do have lots of organizations. I mean, Return to the Land, for one. I was talking about land title. They're already typing that. But we need to understand that in each of these countries, we've got to have a clear anti-Jewish ticket for each of the white homelands. But then that leader needs to communicate to his, not just his party, but to the masses, that he's a fan of the Indians, not the chiefs, right? There's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, right? Because everybody wants to get rich. Everyone wants to get to the top. And everyone's climbing up the ladder over the top of each other to get to that top. What we need, and this is, it's not, you know, glorious or anything like that to say, but we need to appreciate the very people at the bottom, the hard workers, those who work quietly and accumulate more and more of them. I think Hitler got, I think it's about 55% of the actual vote. And that's because the other half of Germany was probably scum.
Right.
Who do you think was going to these brothels in Berlin?
Right.
So we just need to get the majority of the population on board. We need to be able to reward with correct policies and a good leader, and a leader that understands the very bottom of the society all the way to the top. So everyone's accountable. Everyone is rewarded or punished according to good, sound policy. And then everyone knows where they stand. You see, and then we would go to a high trust society. So the key thing we need from that leader is to understand the mechanics of how a high trust society is maintained, created and maintained, and how to punish those who don't get on board, purging, exile, and the gallows, ultimately, for those who are the willing slaves who serve evil willingly. That's what I want to comment on that.
Yeah, the liberals. Right. And neocons. Which are a Republican version.
Excellent insight, Steve, and also by Pastor Eli. So let's say hello to everybody in the chat. There's Straight Out of Swanton, my buddy down the road. He's of the opinion, he says, the outsider means nothing. The system will destroy any outsider, elected or not. Valid point. Victoria Volanino, thank you, dear lady, for your generous donation of $15. Hitler's Revenge is here. Unobtrusive's here. Dan Simmons is here. Great to see you guys. Excuse me.
Oh, there she is.
Josh, who is here, quoting Deuteronomy. That's pretty interesting. 43 corners of living in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually use your passage 43, passage 44. They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them. In the end, they will be your rulers. In Deuteronomy 45.
Something's bleeding in on you, G-man. Major feedback.
Could be somebody trying to overpower your signal. That's possible. I couldn't get on.
That was Paul. Paul's got the grinder out. He's grinding down.
The Jews?
He's grinding Jews, down a Chabad juice. Rabbi a forehead while talk about a brilliant multitasker while engaging in a panel conversation. That's good multitasking.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then Josh points out Deuteronomy passage 45, 28, 43 to 45. All these disasters will come on you, and they will be with you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and keep all the laws that he gave you. Well, if you look around at the debauchery these days, Deuteronomy might be being served up soon. I guess time will tell. Serbian Bulls here. Great to see the bull. Michael from North Cali's here. Johnny Sunshine's here. And you want to know why Trump is bending over backwards to do everything for fucking Kike Ryell? Right there. Trump raping children. Katie Johnson, age 13, paid to silence victims through his lawyer fixer, Cohen. Katie Johnson, age 13. Kelly Fuhrer, age 12. Michael Parker, he popped a little boy in the pooper, paid him $10 million to shut up. Maria Oliveira, $16 million to shut up. Charlie Bacon, he had his bacon sizzled by Trump at age 11. $3 million. Rebecca Conway, 13, $5 million to shut up. Kevin Knoll, wow, he's a switch hitting pedo. How about that? In court, Trump, I mentioned this previously. One of his lawyers used the pedophilic disorder as a DSM-5 diagnostic to mental disorder. He should get help, not be incarcerated. Wow, there you go. What good old Donnie Trump, man. Now you know why the Kike has probably film of all seven of these. So unbelievable.
And more.
Fucking believable. All right, that's got to make you feel good. Nah.
And there's actually photos of Trump with underage girls.
Yeah. Yep, well, there are. I've seen them.
And videos. The videos
Of him posing with like 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds as well. Yeah.
Well, he used to do those regular underage teen pageants. He would like do that every quarter. He was notorious for Trump holding those pageants regionally, and then they'd take the best of them to a national pageant. I mean, that guy had a scam going.
Oh yeah.
Sex trafficking ring. Ultimately, that's what links them all.
Yes, right. Exactly. So Talmud Obliterators here. Good to see that gentleman here. Let's see. Yep. Oh, I guess we were attacked, but Josh says it's blocked. That's good.
Okay.
Serbian Bullshit had to reload, but luckily the new fix is working. Simmons is here. Great to see Dan. Johnny Sunshine's here. I think I mentioned that already. Thomas Dwyer is here. Great to see Tom. I already mentioned my buddy Dave Straight of Swampton. Serbian Bull, I think I mentioned it. Unobtrusive, don't forget his KROO radio station. And our paisan, Michael Cisternino, is here as well. Great to see everybody. Before I go to to the legends and ask them for hour two, if they want to bring something up that I didn't bring up in hour one, I've got a question for this learned panel. Do any of you know what the word hanta, H-A-N-T-A, means in Hebrew?
I have no idea. Hanseatic League, Lufthansa, but Hebrew, I don't know.
Anybody else want to venture a guess?
Yeah. No.
Here we go.
Probably Yiddish.
This fella named Bruce Barrett decided to ask
Rock,
what does hanta mean in Hebrew?
Okay.
In Hebrew slang, hanta, pronounced is a colloquial term for scam, fraud, nonsense, lie, or something fake, basically calling BS on something. It is not a formal dictionary word, but common Israeli slang. They are always mocking us.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the so-called Hanta virus, which is a bioweapon-enhanced pathogen that's being released at first on cruise ships to ratchet up the fear. And then you're gonna. So there you go. That's my.
And for what purpose, Giuseppe? The purpose is to lock people up without due process. That's the entire purpose of that scam. So they'll just say, "Oh, he's got anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish beliefs."
Right.
We won't obviously draw attention to that. So we'll just say he's infected his whole family, blah blah blah, and we'll lock them up.
Yeah, I think that's why they're going that way, and they're clearly, fellas, going for the lockdown again.
Yeah,
they're going to try either through petroleum lack thereof, so people can't drive. We're going to have to lock you down because this is a war effort, and you can't be using gasoline to go to the strip club. You got to. We're rationing it now. That's one of the things. Or Steve, your idea of using the Kike being able to use Hanta and its real meaning as a way to pick up all the people like us who are not infected with the Kike a mind control virus. So I think you're onto something there. Anybody else want to venture what the goal is, where the next lockdown's coming from?
No, but I'd like to hear their explanation for the name of that. I like yours, but I'd like to hear theirs if they have.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That makes sense.
Well, it's like they called the coronavirus the novel coronavirus. The novel means fictional presented in a real way.
Right.
That was a good name for it. They just tell us right out there, here, dummies, here. Now, wear a non-medical mask, you know? Stupid shit.
There you go.
Here's another point as well. I mean, we talk about plague, pestilence, war, and famine. I think they really do push that, the whole revelation thing, a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Not.
I think the next thing we've got coming up is famine. So the fertilizer crisis is something that will lead, obviously, to food rationing, not for the rich. Mm-hmm. And if you're malnutritioned, you're more susceptible to disease. So we may indeed find a form of plague turning up. But the point is, how will it be used? Right. Is it Jewish? How does it serve Jewish interests? But I think the main thing we need to keep sight of, especially with the anti-white agenda at large, is everything they do right now, from now onwards, because they're all in. I think with the Gaza war starting and when they started to lose that and lose the will of the people, they got more and more desperate. They can only go on the escalation ladder, and then they found themselves to be all in and they've got no chips left. Depopulation. That's what's coming. Global depopulation. Not just of Africa, but the entire white race will be going. And just another thing on the crown I wanted to mention. When the British Empire, this managed decline, which Starmer is trying to bleed the last ounces out of, they tried to have blacks being put in at the top with each of the colony countries that were given independence, with the exception, I think, of Rhodesia, where they actually declared independence themselves to keep whites at the top. In the UK, that's what we've got going on. It's just an extension of that 1960s policy of putting blacks at the top. Because if you've got stupid people, corrupt people, by the way, say if you're black, you don't have a sense of African history. All you've got is what the government's told you in this country if you were born here as black. And to a lesser extent, with the Muslims, obviously that's mitigated by their religion. It's still the same. The amount of Muslims I've met in my time who don't want to go back to Pakistan because it's a shithole. They don't want to go back to Afghanistan because it's a shithole. They'd rather stay here. So they see their future here because they're stakeholders here, and that stake was given to them by the government.
Right.
So, you know, why is the government doing this? Is it out of spite? Quite simply, is because they want slaves. They see everybody as slaves. When you're at the top, when you've got that amount of money, especially if you're a Rothschild, you have been raised from cradle all the way to the grave. You've been raised from the cradle believing that you are the master. No one says no to you. You've got all these yes men around you who are paid to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Tip the cap. Yes, my lord. No one's ever said no. No one's ever criticized you. And more importantly, no one's ever had the political violence and power to say to you, not only are you wrong, but I'm going to remove you. That's what they fear. Organic political violence, an organic mass consensus of the normies who've woken up out of self-preservation more than anything. So you can take away their jobs. You can take away the National Health Service. You can even take away the housing, which they've done to me. But as soon as you start taking away their children's future, that's when they start to wake up. And this is one of the reasons why I think they got pogromed so much, because of the child ritual murder, because it is a biological instinct to protect the future of your offspring.
Absolutely.
That's the only instance I can think of self-sacrifice where the slave is actually willing to self-sacrifice. All the other pain that's thrown at them, they keep taking it. They keep enduring, okay? But as soon as you start going after the innocent offspring, all of a sudden there's mass peasant riots everywhere, which will come. It will come with the famine, the food rationing, energy rationing. It will come.
And then all of a sudden you're going to have millions and millions of people kicking off, and this will be the test of the nation, because either the smart people, the honest people, the good people get together, organize, and I guess it will be the test of the organization to be able to overcome a shrinking and weakening government. That's the key. So we need to understand the nature and science.
It can't shrink much more, Steve. It can't shrink much more. It's just about at its end.
Well, if you've got a population without guns, like here, it's very easy for a small amount of people with guns to control the larger amount, because they're all living in fear. They haven't learned to self-sacrifice. The only time that will change is when they know for definite that there is no future for their offspring.
Right.
Now, we might say that's too late, but I would say that is the opportunity, the one-time opportunity you have to change the future of your country. Otherwise, quite simply, it will disappear. Let's look at South Africa, shall we? 10 years, it's turned into a shithole. Everything they built, all South Africa, over those decades, everything they built all went to shit for nothing.
Yep, for Jewish power, essentially.
And they helped out. By the way, let's not forget that the crew who were running South Africa, they gave nuclear technology to the Jews in return for good media coverage. What a mistake that was.
Right.
What, that was the opportunity at that point for the Afrikaners, the Boers, and the white English there, the settlers, to actually rebel against their white government and put an even more far-right government in there that was uncompromising towards the Jew. That's why they needed the Hitler at that point. And all of a sudden, they put blacks at the top, they lost power, and it's turned into a trash shithole where the blacks are cannibalizing every piece of metal that they can for the scrapyard. That will be our fate in the West. It's already happening. In the UK, look at Birmingham, there's rubbish and trash everywhere. The binmen have been on strike for how long? Because they haven't got enough money to pay them. So everything smells of rat shit now.
Yeah.
I've been looking, for example, in America.
New York City.
Top 10
New York City.
In America,
San Francisco.
East Cleveland. I could go to Baltimore, Philadelphia. Yeah, I could go on. They all look like post-World War II apocalyptic
wastelands.
And the common denominator every single one of those has is they've all got blacks in them.
That's right.
That's right.
They're all dictated by Jews. Well, I would like to add, Steve, just quickly, that the whole point of it is not to make money and to create slaves. It's to destroy the white race. That's their ultimate aim, and they're doing it in slow motion.
Well, the ultimate aim is to destroy God, and they by destroying the worshippers of God, because in the
Jewish mind,
by destroying the worshippers of God, there'll be nobody there to remember who God is in the first place.
Right.
And at that point, they will substitute a false idol.
Yeah, who's that alien that come down?
Well, the Moshiach. So I've always said, who is the Moshiach? Yeah. Moshiach is the richest Jew. And when they've absolutely impoverished the earth, and there's war, plague, famine, pestilence, all the rest of it, at that point they'll be willing, as long as they're paid gold,
right,
they're paid, they will worship any idol that's offered to them.
Right.
Yeah, that's why the Jews are buying up all the gold. The banks are buying up all the gold. So they're getting ready for that eventuality. Because they know the paper money is worthless. Nobody wants it.
And moving towards a commodity-backed note away from fiat.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at the stock market, does not make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. It's a kosher casino, man. It's gambling. Bet, like Fred Flintstone. Bet.
I'll make a bet.
And interest rates go up. Then obviously the stock market will crash. If they can't reopen the Straits of Hormuz, the stock market will crash. But I think, just looking at a tactical level, I think the U.S. is defeated. Short of nuclear weapons, the U.S. is defeated, and de facto Israel. So this is already kind of locked in. The normie is yet to wake up to these consequences, like South Africa did when they were giving nuclear technology to the Jews. They didn't realize the consequences. Can you imagine what they would think looking at 2026 now? Would they have still given Israel nuclear technology? Looking at the shithole their country has become today. So, you know, the Goyim's memories are very, very short, and we need to reactivate that memory. We need to be able, when we're having political discourse, or if you're on a platform or a megaphone, we need to show the people, the normies, we need to show them consequences, the consequences of their actions. And not only that, we need to show them the enemies, not just at the top, that's very easy. We need to show the enemies at the bottom as well. the ignorance, the willful ignorance, the willfully evil people, all the smack dealers, the crack dealers at the bottom, they're just as culpable. Something still needs to be done about them. And nothing will, because we need to take a balanced approach of going for everyone. Everyone is on the opposition team. You only convert people who want to be converted, who have a respect for truth. Because with that, you can work with that. You can evolve that. You can they can have some sort of personal growth, okay? And you can, over a very short period of time, be able to push them down the right path, and they'll be able to find out for themselves what's going on. They'll be able to find out the consequences if they do actions X, Y, and Z. But if they don't, if we just have this thing of what I call kosher nationalism, where they're voting in Trump for a personality cult, Viktor Orban, Geert Wilders, even Keir Starmer's of that ilk.
Yeah, right.
Then nothing will actually change, because they're outsourcing responsibility and consequences to the ones at the top, and then moan and turn up in their millions when things go wrong, and yet they don't know the leader with the correct policies, because they don't know what the correct policies are. They can't come up with those correct policies themselves, because they never thought about it, because they don't know their history and they don't know their economics and they didn't bother at school. So the question becomes, at that point, is democracy the solution in that kind of environment? Or is it a fight for survival, a fight to the death? And this is why people say, oh, you're getting militant, Steve. No, I'm not getting militant. I'm getting realistic. Because we are so far down the line now, we might have had a political solution in the early 80s when this should have been sorted out. And I'm taking the UK as an example of that. But now in 2026, we're in trouble. And so the policies which are pushed forward naturally seem extreme because the situation we're in is so dangerous. And by the way, the government is most corrupt, extreme position going. And anybody who votes for that is voting, is an extremist, follows extremist policies of the government. I don't see any of us lot wanting to wipe out an entire population like the government and the Jews want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if anyone's an extremist, it's the government and the people supporting the government. They should be called out for that. Any comments there?
Yeah.
Flipping the script of common knowledge. James, your thoughts? Let's get everybody. That democracy only benefits demons and kikes. I mean, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic.
Repeating yourself.
What now? Well,
you know, I've said
demons and kikes.
Democracy is managed confusion.
Right.
And we know who the managers are. So that pretty well. And somebody else said, you know, if you find a country that is ruled, if you could call it ruled by democracy, you found a country dominated by Jews. And so there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. But get back to the original question. What's it take to wake these people up? I question whether any people have ever awakened like that. When they're down this far and they really have no place to turn. They don't have a sense of up or down, right or left. They're in weightlessness. Mm. How do you wake up? And then I'll turn it over to Pastor Eli. You know, the Christians, the Judeo-Christians like to say, if they'll turn earnestly to the Lord, you know, and beg for his salvation, his intervention, then he will hear them and he will save them. Yeah. Well, that won't happen because they don't know who the Lord is. They don't know what the Lord is. They don't know what the Lord is about. They think the Lord is an Obama Democrat or a Clinton Democrat or you know, you can turn to that, but it's not real. It's not there. So, Eli.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Right. Well, as you were saying that, has there ever been an example of a totally oppressed people waking up out of it and getting rid of their oppressor? It was the founding fathers.
But these were a healthy people.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
yeah, these were a healthy people. And they weren't Jew-dominated and they weren't brainwashed. Yeah, people like that can work miracles. But yeah. when they're zombieized,
right?
And
oh, yeah.
They are, and you know.
Well, the Rothschilds have learned, right, that before they try another revolution here in America, they have to dumb us down to the point where we don't know who we are, right?
And so they've done it.
They've done that. However, there's still a remnant of us who know who we are and know who the enemy is, and we're not giving up yet. Okay,
no, we won't. Yeah.
But I was saving this. This is the comment of Malcolm X regarding liberals, white liberals in America. So three short paragraphs here. In this deceitful American game of power politics, the Negroes, i.e. the race problem, the integration and civil rights issues, are nothing but tools used by one group of whites called liberals against another group of whites called conservatives, either to get into power or to remain in power. He obviously wasn't clued in on a Jewish question. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties across party lines to work together toward the same goal, and white conservatives from both parties do likewise. Okay, so he understood that the Republican versus Democrat dichotomy isn't real. The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful than the conservative.
Totally true.
Yeah, the liberal is more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power. Actually, we don't want power. We just want to be left alone. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor.
Right.
And by winning the friendship, allegiance, and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or tool in this political football game that is constantly raging between white liberals and white conservatives. Third paragraph. Politically, the American Negro is nothing but a football, and the white liberals control this mentally dead ball through tricks of tokenism, false promises, and integration and civil rights. In this profitable game of deceiving the Negro civil rights leaders, these quote-unquote leaders sell out our people for just a few crumbs of token recognition and token gains. Quote, the leaders are satisfied with token victories and token progress, because they themselves are nothing but token leaders. There was one Negro who saw what was going on.
He had a pretty good appreciation, more so than most people. He had an appreciation. But Rockwell said of liberals, they're sincerely duped.
Right.
But he said of conservatives, they know a lot more of the score than they let on, but they're too cowardly to come forward with it. So, you know, who deserves our scorn more? I think the conservatives do, because the liberals are at least honest about it. They're duped. Yeah. They're duped.
Well, and, okay. Yeah. Well, but not the leaders. You know, the leaders like Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris and Hayes, they're total hypocrites.
And Rockwell also said that liberalism is communism's pimping little sister.
That's right. Yeah. She's more seductive, isn't she?
Right.
Okay, that's all I have to say. But there's still hope, because there may be a really Christian revival. Because and the reason why is because the churches, the Judeo-Christian churches, are collapsing, totally collapsing. They're being run by leftists, and the good Christians, the honest Christians, are leaving in droves from these churches. There's not going to be much left of them really soon. Yeah. Okay, that's one ray of hope. Okay, back to you guys.
Okay, so I think that a major crisis that most normies don't understand is this data center crisis. Starting to wake up to it, but this is a huge, huge problem. Number one, it's a series of gay pedophilic kike faggots who are behind, you know, Peter Thiel, Alex Kant, all of these other they're literally pedophilic kike faggots. I mean, it's horrible. And look at the amount of money like the Google kike faggots are using in 2023. Check this out. So here is what Google, so their biggest data center is in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Wow. And in 2023, they used almost a billion gallons of water, 980 million gallons of water.
Can I comment there? There's a nuance.
Go ahead.
Most of that water is consumed in the construction of the data center. They've got closed loop cooling systems, so they actually use very little water after the fact. Nearly all of it is used in construction.
Really? I've never heard that before. How do you...
well, that's why you've got to sign up to my Telegram channel. And the Intel.
I am signed up to your Telegram channel.
Yeah, I was speaking to you. But yeah,
I'll have to go read it.
The main danger, if I can comment on AI, there's two reasons. One, they're probably mining Bitcoin with it. And two, I think the Jews are creating a technological gap between themselves and the Goyim. So the bankers have put all this on AI because they want to create a science. I have seen quite a lot of stuff that AI has produced in terms of science advancement. Now, what I'm going to suggest is they just don't tell the Goyim that. So I think a lot of the technology, a lot of the physics they've developed since the advent of AI, which I guess, the last 3 years, they want to develop a whole paradigm where they're technologically superior to everybody else, because that's the only way you can have Jewish imperialism is when you have a technological advantage, where the small minority is able to control the larger majority. In my opinion, anyway. So I think there's an occult side to AI as well. I think
it's Jewish.
Well, it's the fulfillment of the Kabbalah and the creation of the electric golem. Right? So they've been obsessed for a couple of thousand years now, since Egypt. Yeah. Yeah, I think the discovery of electricity with electroplating. I think the Jew has looked at electricity and decided... they could have got this for looking at nature. There's lots of animals in nature that use electricity. Think electric eels. And I think lightning is another one. So they've got like a gold capstone on the top of the pyramid. They did it in South America as well. I think harvesting of lightning is where it all started. I think AI is accumulation of the electric golem project. But they're now getting this electric golem to serve an occult end and to provide and extend occult knowledge. And when we do have, I guess, the final battle, when there's mushroom clouds everywhere, plague, pestilence, war, all the rest of it, I think that's when they'll start to roll out their Skynet and we'll see their true power. But I think the AI has been used to create occult physics, not just purposes of profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably, yeah. Let me just add one more possibility here, because these data centers are going to fail. They're failing already. They're just too expensive to run, and they're creating a bubble, another technology bubble, to soak the investors when they do collapse, okay? So the Jews will always be holding the, the trump card when the collapse occurs.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah.
All right, so I just put up on the screen, this data center thing is getting to be really problematic for a lot of communities. So here's a fellow named Hedgie. Posted this 1 hour ago. A data center in Fayetteville, Georgia, drained approximately 30 million gallons of water through two industrial scale hookups that the local utility did not know existed.
Ooh.
One connection had been installed without the utility's knowledge, and the other was not linked to any account and therefore was not being billed. The discovery only came after residents complained about low water pressure. The campus is still under construction with completion projected 3 to 5 years out. A separate incident in Tucson last week saw Project Blue's contractor caught trucking municipal water out of a city that explicitly voted against the project, with Tucson revoking the temporary meter and demanding 2 acre feet of water credits to make the city whole.
All right. People are fighting back.
And then Hedgie's take. Two unrelated data center water incidents in 2 weeks across 2 different states is a pattern, not a coincidence. The Georgia facility was running off an unmetered industrial hookup nobody at the utility had on file, which means either a contractor installed it without authorization or the utility lost track of a connection serving a major customer, and neither of those explanations should make anyone comfortable. The construction phase alone consumed 30 million gallons before operations even began, which gives you a sense of the water demand profile these facilities have once they go live. The bigger issue is that hyperscale data centers are being permitted under regulatory frameworks built for industrial users a fraction of their size, and the utilities responsible for tracking water use are not staffed for facilities of this scale. A 30-million-gallon discrepancy shipping through billing is not a clerical error. It is a sign that the infrastructure for monitoring these projects is being outpaced by the speed at which they are being built. Tucson caught their problem because a citizen made a phone call to a council staffer, and Fayetteville caught theirs because neighbors noticed that their taps had lost pressure. Neither one of those is a functioning compliance system, and the next community in this situation will probably not catch it at all. That's a big fucking problem.
Right. Yeah, it's a problem for the local councils. Memphis, the one in Memphis that Elon Musk is building, that one's in trouble.
Right. Oh, right.
I've got another comment to make as well. This AI business, I mean, people are saying it's there to provide a surveillance state. I kind of agree in a way. I saw in China, on my info lines, I saw the Chinese have built 14 robotic policemen.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Yeah, and I thought, well, there's a portent of things to come. So if I didn't know any better, I think we're moving into – I don't know if you've seen that film RoboCop.
Sure. I mean,
yes.
A very, very funny film, by the way.
It's right. The original one, with Peter Weller, the very 80s version.
Satire. Yeah. I think that is going to be rolled out in the next 20 years. I think they're going to have robotic policemen. And instead of arresting people, they'll probably just fire a sleeping dart at you and a robot picks you up and takes you to the slammer or whatever. Right. So I think, really, the Jews are going for Skynet.
Okay.
That's it. And I've already seen the evidence with those robot policemen. They don't even need slaves anymore. These AI sensors are here to make the slaves obsolete, like the tractor did. So one of the reasons they abolished slavery, like you say, to the liberals to make friends with the blacks, so the blacks fight for them. Oh, we abolished slavery, and therefore if you fight for us against the other whites, we'll maintain power. But the real reason was the tractor made slaves obsolete, another kind of machinery. This is no different. I think these AI sensors are merely there to provide the final police state and to enforce the eradication of the goyim.
Well, that's part of it, replacement of human beings. But I still say the real objective is to destroy, exterminate the white race.
Because they want a world of their own. And then since they have a world of their own, nobody worshipping God. They'll all be worshipping Saturn. They're
worshipping themselves.
Well, that's the collective racial soul they worship.
Right. The Luciferian soul that they possess.
Well, they've got a hive mind. They say the collective racial soul.
Okay, so what do you Canadians think of all this?
Paul Fromm, we haven't heard from you in a while. Here, I'll send you the ask to unmute thing again. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Are you there, Paul?
Yeah. Press the right button, Paul. You're muted. You're muted.
There you go. Ask to unmute.
Yeah.
Should have a button.
There we go.
There we go.
Good, Paul.
There we go.
There we go.
I don't understand what happens how this today. Get it muted, but I'm still. I don't have a lot to say about that. I'm still trying to get my head around the technology and what's happening.
Yeah. All right.
Are there any data centers in Canada?
Yes, there are.
Well, there are. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Better start fighting against those.
Okay. Yeah. So, Les Borey, we haven't heard from you for a while. What's on your mind, Les?
Well, going back to the question of what would cause people to rise up, I don't know if there is anything. That's the thing. It's not what is it? Does it even exist? This thing that'll cause people to actually act, you know? Like we've seen them do everything to our people and nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not hopeful.
It's disheartening, man. It's really disheartening.
Yeah. Well, it sure is. I mean, you know, grown men are supposed to do things, you know, when things happen. I guess, we've fallen a lot. Far from the tree, you know, we've fallen very far from the tree in our countries. And basically, you know, nature tells us that when there's a threat to your little ones and your women, you're supposed to do things.
Yes.
You're supposed absolutely. To stop that. Now, we're thinking, men, we could do this more than one way, but basically we've hardly even tried to change this at all except for going along with it. I mean, us guys here, yeah, we're making change all the time, right. And we're helping to precipitate that change as well. But the people out there, even when they know what's going on, they still aren't changing because, again, we have to get back to that organization thing. We have to organize and become politically active in this corrupt political system. There's no doubt about it. And then if you don't challenge them on that field, you'll never control what your, you know, what your future is. You'll never control your own destiny. You'll have to run your own show and you have to lead yourselves. You know, you can't have these Satanists and these child eaters and child molesters are running the world. The world's never going to change. It's going to keep being evil the whole time. Right. You have evil leaders, yeah. You're going to have an evil world. You know, so
yeah.
So basically, the people of the world have to realize that going along with these people, as long as being an ignorant and a cowardly act, it's an evil act, because you're condoning evil when you vote for the evil guys. You know, you can vote for Republicans, you can vote for Democrats, it doesn't matter. Basically, America in November is just deciding which wood chipper to throw their cock into. That's pretty much all it is, the blue one or the red one. And that's what it boils down to. Same thing in Canada. You've got about five different flavors or six different flavors of bullshit. And right. Basically each one's a wood chipper for your cock and balls. Okay, so enjoy the outcome. All right?
I'd rather you should use that symbol for your voters.
Well, the alternative is a nice, soft, you know, moist place where
there you go. Yeah.
Where certain things belong, right? That's what we're trying to create here.
Yeah.
What a way to put that.
Right? Speak softly and carry a big, which would I call it, stick?
Yep, that's right.
I think we have to find some way to have some successes. And yeah, then more successes. People will join. I'm going back to the Freedom Convoy. There was tremendous unhappiness with the fear mongering, the lies, the forced masking, the forced vaccine, and all that.
Right.
And then some patriotic truckers got the idea of a freedom convoy, which would converge from various points on the nation's capital. And at first I was dubious because I've heard of the March on Ottawa at least four or five times in my political career. In one case, the guy started in British Columbia and he moved in very, very slowly. And he'd go from Indian reservation to Indian reservation for cheap accommodations. He was white. Well, 6 months later, when the March on Ottawa finally arrived on July the 1st, there were about 15 people and four or five hangers on. Anyway, I was pretty dubious, but they pulled it off. And as people could see it growing, they gathered along the highway. They were cheering, even though it was bitterly cold. They, when the truckers would stop, they would give them trays of water, cash, food. I could sense a real enthusiasm in coming together. And I suspect if we can find some other means of protest, perhaps another convoy where people can see something happening, that will activate a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't be. For instance, politically, the Mennonite community is very, very passive. In fact, don't think they even vote. I could be wrong. But anyway, when the truckers arrived in Winnipeg, the Mennonites from outside of town came in. I guess they got a big thing, was an auditorium.
Free beer.
They laid out a huge spread of Mennonite food, and that's cooking with schmetz. Or
schmaltz.
In English,
schmaltz.
Tastes good.
Pork fat.
Well, the RCMP, they always get their man. So they banned the truckers from coming into Winnipeg. Okay, another defeat. No! What did the Mennonite women do? They threw all their grub and stuff into pickup trucks. They raced, I think it's about 150 miles further east to Kenora, Ontario, They were left alone. They set up, and the truckers' conversion. I mean, you think all of this was out of their own pocket? Yeah, the Mennonite women, and they fed large numbers. I don't have a count, but people will come together. Because I think somehow we have to find the way to give them hope. I just finished reading a little post by some young man down in Nova Scotia about how young Canadians feel. The job market stinks. And what do the employers do? They give the jobs to East Indians. Just off the
plane. Who fuck up the jobs, by the way, too, Paul.
Yeah, just off the plane. Or people who are here as temporary foreign workers or on student visas. Well, if you're on a student visa, you should ought to be in school. And there's this feeling of utter injustice. And the figures just came out last week. We've got 8% unemployment. We lost about 140,000 jobs in the last month. But we're going to be bringing over 250,000 temporary foreign workers. A lot of people at the younger end of the scale are seeing this, and they're angry, they're depressed. We've got to find a way to marshal that. Because at least on the two things have crossed our mind. First of all, the lack of economic prospect. Hey, if you can't get a job, you're just out of school. Well, how are you going to get your own apartment, or maybe even get a car, or get a girlfriend, have a girlfriend, and marry and have a family?
Right.
And
find a woman who's interested.
Right.
Well, that's a different problem. I was in on a conversation last night. Where do you find a good woman? Says a young, to me, he's a young fellow in his mid 30s, who's just gone through a failed marriage. Mm-hmm. Where do you find one? Well, the older guy with me, not as old as me, but each two has just had a failed marriage. Nobody had a really good answer because so many women had been turned off men by the
psycho-feminist
propaganda that they learned. So, okay, you go to a foreign country. Well, that has a...
Yeah, what? Namibia?
The Philippines.
Yeah, Philippines, there you go. Yeah. Well, France. France has a lot of Namibians.
but the girl you're going to get in France does not look like Brigitte Bardot or Catherine Deneuve.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, the conversation did not have a conclusion, but... there are a lot of informed or fairly informed younger people, mostly men.
Get it yourself.
And they're informed on two issues, the economic betrayal and the fact race has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because who's getting their jobs? And this guy did mention, and local employers are passing us over. He said he'd send out a couple hundred resumes, didn't even get an answer. Not even a sorry, we're not hiring, or sorry, at least hired somebody else. Just you know, it's like just spitting in the wind. I think there are people there that we have to. I already see some organization going on, so it's not like we, the five or six of us, have to do it ourselves. But I think there's a future there, and let's remember that. National Socialism was a young person's party. I mean, the people who formed it were young men. Hitler, right, just out of the military, and the others. And in Italy, of course, fascism, which is a reaction to some of these same things, also a young people's movement. In fact, one of their anthems was La Giovinezza, or the youth, I guess, roughly in English.
Well, we were looking at the need for wins, and this is Thomas Massie. Trump hates him. The Kikes hate him. So he's doing something right. And check out what he just told Jimmy Dore. It's a 1 minute clip, but there are some people fighting for us, and we need more Thomas Massies, I think. Here we go.
Well, you know, I support obviously the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment is privacy. Tenth Amendment is states' rights. But I also support the Seventh Amendment and the Eighth Amendment. These are amendments in the Bill of Rights that people have long since forgotten. What is the Seventh Amendment? The right to a jury trial. They're trying to get immunity for data centers, for pesticides, tech when they steal inventions from little guys. They're trying to get all kinds of immunity and prevent jury trials. This is something that's not even on people's radar, but it has shown up on radar. And we've been successful. We got it struck from the Farm Bill. They were trying to put immunity for glyphosate in there, which is an herbicide.
Very good.
I really hope he prevails. I know they're putting in pouring in a lot of money to try to primary him.
Well, the good news is despite the massive influx of out-of-state kike money, Massey's well ahead.
That's good news.
Very righteous. News.
And Dan Bilzerian, I think, is going to beat that kike in Florida.
Well, Dave Gahari was on Friday's show, and he was like, not an Ice Cube's chance in hell. I hope so. Yeah. And Belzerian's not all he's cracked up to be. If you guys want to go back and watch The Perfect Triangle last Friday, Dave has done some research into Belzerian, and he shares it. So, but you know what? The good shows race by. So let's give everybody a final statement, and then we'll wrap it up. Let's start with UK Steve. Steve, your final thoughts.
I've got a couple of final thoughts. I think one, we need to understand in any political action of the future, because it is coming, and we have to be ready to be there in front of the crowds. We need to get the crowds to understand that mortgages in DEI are devices for depopulation.
Right.
It's a very simple message that, because it leads on to usury, et cetera, so many other issues you can then tie in. But everybody hates mortgages. That's the one thing.
Except you.
People say, I own my own house. It's like, yes, but did you pay three times the value? And by the way, where did that profit go, those two-thirds? Where did that go? Did that go to the Jews, exactly, who then spent that money against you? How better off would you have been if you had an interest-free loan for the government? And as long as you worked for 10 years, you'd have got your free house, thus empowering the worker, the young workers, to be able to have a strong nuclear family and a stable upbringing. The second thing is DEI, the targeting of these client demographics. Don't go for everybody within the polity. Don't. Just go for straight, white, hard-working young men who know who their leader is. That's what you want. And you tell those people to eliminate the other client demographics. So for one, women, gotta go. No property whatsoever. You're not voting. You're going. The gays, trannies, blacks, all the rest of it, they're out. So you're either off an internment camp or you're paid for a free airline ticket back to your country. See you later. It's what they did in Germany with the Jews. I personally wouldn't have let the Jews go. I'd make an exception for the Jews. I'd make a public demonstration of them lot. But the rest of those client demographics, get them off the island in the UK's case. Get them out of your country. Get them out of your polity. Very simple, two-pronged message, mortgages and the destruction of DEI to straight, white, hard-working male. And you go for all of them, millions, tens of millions of men, because they're the ones who'll be fighting for you. Say to them, I don't want you to vote for me. I want you to fight for me. And try and inspire them like that.
Put those Jews on a cruise ship with hantavirus.
Well, I disagree with concentration camps, by the way. I think they were nothing more than Jewish sanctuary cities.
Oh, right. Yeah, there you go.
They emerged at the end of the war fatter than the German guards were. Right?
That's right.
They've got to be punished. And I would probably do what the Mongols did, which is to lock them all in their own bank vaults permanently. Irony there.
That's a great idea. Right.
Yeah, the second point, briefly, is Ukraine. I know James Mason would love to be on this one. But I think that Putin's right. The war is coming to a close. They've had manpower shortages for about 3 months now. The casualty figures have come in. And looking at the probate research that's gone into Russia, the Russians have lost about 350,000 men. Mm. They probably got double that in terms of wounded, or through a lot of wounded come back to active service. The Ukrainians have got about 2 million plus casualties, of which about 1 million is KIA. This is an extremely deadly war with precision munitions. It is.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're going to see the end of the regime of Zelensky pretty soon. He's definitely going to get the Donbass, and he's going to get Odessa. Whether they pull actions in Kaliningrad or Moldova, I think it's extrageous to the fact that the Russians are moving closer to the border. They may leave a rump state to sort of corral all the Azov types and anyone else who supports Zelensky into Lvov. And my message is we're going to start to see within Eastern Europe a reaction against the advancement of the Russian steamroller to the border with conscription. Mm. And I've actually spoken to a few Lithuanians recently as well. It's the same message. You've worked really, really hard. You've got your houses. You've got your family over there. Don't lose it all dying for Jews. Don't. Right. One of the people who have been traditionally anti-Semitic was the Eastern European Slavic population.
Right.
Who are the people who have been oppressed and fought the Jews? Well, the people of Ukraine. People of Serbia, by the way, for Tito. There are cases of the Jews being kicked out. Guyana in South America has recently kicked the Jews out. Mauritania in the west coast of Africa has also kicked the Jews out. There are examples of policies doing that, but the real question is, where in white homelands have the Jews been pogromed and why? So I would suggest resist government tyranny towards conscription because it's a death sentence and we can't do anything with you if you're dead. And to support people, the leading anti-Jewish ticket, and to remember the lessons of history of how and why the Jews were kicked out or eliminated. And to use as examples to the crowd of normies before you, it's going to take hundreds of people like ourselves in each of those countries to push a consensus, not just of policies, but a consensus of historical history and facts. And finally, to go after the media. This is the key number one issue. Unless, like we did with Hitler and the SA, you go after the media and you physically smash up their premises. You physically smash up those journalists as murderers. Hang a few. Literally hang a few of them. They're all corrupt. They're all in the CIA payroll. They're all on the MI5, MI6 payroll. They're all on the Mossad payroll. Okay? They've got no ethics, no boundaries. Don't assume there's any legal process whatsoever. There isn't. They're not bound by law, the intelligence services. And I would say to you, go after the media because they are the servants of the intelligence services. Once you've got rid of the media and at least disrupted the programming of the normie and the goyim, once you've at least disrupted that, then go after the intelligence services ruthlessly. That's my final message. Hail victory.
Amen.
Hail victory. Mm. We lost Paul Fromm. He had to go, I guess, but let's go next to Les Borey for your final thoughts, Les.
Oh, thanks, Giuseppe. I just was going to read Paul that super chat by Unobtrusive there, but he'll have to get that later. He's just asking Paul to pass a message on to Lady Michelle.
Right, right. I'll block copy it and email it to Paul.
Thanks for that, Giuseppe.
Where does she live? Is she in Britain? Lady Michelle, where is she located?
Don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Paul would have known. Posh?
What's that?
Isn't she?
Paul Fromm would have known.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out.
She looks at her YouTube account. She's looking at interior design at the moment in different posh houses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For the Rothschilds?
I don't know. But she's critiquing interior design.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not a fan. I mean, I like her stuff, don't get me wrong, about visionism and that.
Yeah.
But she's not what I want to move towards. She's not a revolutionary.
No, no. Revisionists are not revolutionaries. They're just complaining about that one issue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a holistic solution that we need for all.
Yeah, right.
While willingly free. Willingly. Right.
Okay. Yeah. We've got a quandary. What do we do about this problem? But I think a lot of it's going to solve itself as time goes on because the Jews are running out of fiat money and they're running out of support. Okay. It's a race against time. You know, either they have enough money to destroy the world or they run out of money and we win. Right.
Well,
yeah.
They might offer us a solution, Eli.
Yeah.
Of their making.
Yeah. Right.
So, no, we got to work.
Yeah. Now, how about Mark Fry? And the Jews are going to go to Madagascar, whether they like it or not.
There you go. Let's go. So, Les, did you want to complete a final statement, or are you done?
That's fairly good for me, Giuseppe. I got nothing earth-shattering to say today, except let's organize everybody, and thanks for watching the show. It was great to work with all you guys. Good day, everybody.
Likewise, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Pastor Eli, your final thoughts, and don't forget to promote whatever you'd like to promote.
Yeah, I mean, all these associations that the Jews control, Big Pharma is one of
Big
the worst.
Big Pharma.
Yeah, our people need to wake up and realize they're being poisoned by the medical establishment. And so just go back to nature. Go back to nature. Maybe the liberals can teach us a few things about going back to nature. You know, but they're, unfortunately, they're on the bandwagon because they promote abortion. They promote all these radical surgeries. So neither camp is really understanding the source of the problem, and it's Jewry. So we just got to keep hammering away. As Henry Ford said, name the Jew.
There you go.
Name the Jew.
And our final, the legend is a legend. James, I'll give you the final word. What's on your mind, good sir?
Well, I don't want to black pill anybody, but in line with David's thrust on Friday, it's hard to have any sympathy for these people out there today. And I mean the white people.
Yeah.
In barracks room parlance, they're running around with their heads up their asses.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get them unstuck.
Yeah.
If you try to, maybe out of the Bible, out of somewhere, you try to tell them the truth, they'll try to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're begging for something and they're going to get it. And the only real thing is, as I've said for years, this on this earth is not a personality contest. It's a biological experiment.
Right.
And Eli, you're talking about the Nephilim out there, and they've always been there. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that damn good and well.
Right.
And I have to assume they're waiting to make their move when they deem the time right.
Yeah. By the way, in line with what you just said is they saw a video. They're still decoding the Sumerian texts. And this one tablet, which has been mistranslated as being a metaphor, is all about messing with human DNA.
Right.
Mixing the DNA of the fallen angels with humans, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what they've been doing since they got here.
Yep, exactly.
There you go. In a nutshell, and it's their experiment. Like all scientific experiments, you don't screw with it. You don't step in and fuck with it.
Yep.
You let it play out. But they've said again and again, they're not going to let their experiment go down the drain.
No.
So there we are.
Yeah, well, they're not going to kill all of us. You know, that's going to be a real problem getting the remnant.
Yeah.
The remnant will survive.
And so, how many do you really need to start over again?
Yeah, a really hyped up minority who never gives up.
And there you go.
The fatter the Jews get, the lazier they get.
That's a great point. Okay. All right. So.
Okay, I got to run. My landlady is telling me I should have been done at 2.
All right, see you, Eli.
All right, okay.
Thank you, Eli. And what I just bring up,
unobtrusive,
I passed along your message to Paul Fromm. I emailed him about Lady Michelle Renouf, so that message is passed along. And want to thank the donors for today, which is Thomas Dwyer, generous $10. Johnny Sunshine, generous $14.88. And Victoria Volonino, $15. Thank you so much. Donations are truly appreciated. And so I guess this is such a good tune. Let's you play this one again. This guy really has a gift. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Tomorrow night, it'll be me and Daniel Christos of Ball Busters, and then the panel will be back on Wednesday. So that being said, you know, we got to win. You know, this is crazy. That everything that plagues us for the last 150 years has been from the vile kike. Enough's enough. Time to shuffle them off this mortal coil. It's the only way it's going to win. We definitely want to gain independent political power, and we're supporting less every which way. But in the end, there's going to have to be a lot of kike blood that runs in the streets and runs in the roads to get to where we need to be, which is taking back our first world legacy European nation. So it's inevitable. Don't be afraid. Find your inner apex predator and get to work. All right. Start with the rabbis. Every one of the rabbis has raped children, eaten children, murdered children. Start with the rabbis. Every rabbi should be sanctioned with extreme prejudice, just like in the spy movies. All right. That being said, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And God bless us all. And this is just a talented, talented fella right here.
There's a little secret that you may not know, but if you don't figure it out, you will never grow. So let me put it in a nutshell so that you can see the tiny hat's destruction of humanity. They start wars.
Tiny hats.
They killed our Lord.
Tiny hats.
They gave us usury.
Tiny hats.
And pornography. They cause inflation.
Tiny hats.
And immigration.
Tiny hats.
Slavery.
Tiny hats.
Social depravity. Communism.
Tiny hats.
Genocide.
Tiny hats.
Slavery.
Tiny hats.
And democide. They cause the famines across the world. They turn little boys into little girls. Torture children just for fun. Vaccinated everyone.
They own your education through manipulation. They rewrote history
to make them look like they're not guilty
of starting World War II
and pretending
that the Jew
was the victim in the war which they started.
But if you want to know the truth, it was Germany who
found the courage to form a plan to remove their money system scam.
So everything you thought you knew is just the fiction of the Jew.
And now they're coming for you in another Bolshevik coup. They're using famine and disease, nuclear war and poverty to create hell on earth to stop the goyim giving birth. Everyone will soon be gone except the chosen ones, so that they can finally fulfill their prophecy. They gave us LGB.
Tiny hats.
They gave us wokery.
Tiny hats.
Terrorism. Satanism.
Euthanasia.
They seized Ukraine in a coup. Then they position a sneaky Jew to make the Christian go to war against each other. Now they're colonizing while they're weaponizing our own governments against us.
For the Jew world order.
The Jew world order. You'll probably